In this lecture, we are going to have a look at landfill tax, which was introduced in the Finance Act of 1996. It is under the control of customs and took effect from the 1st of October 1996. The main reasons for introducing the tax were to encourage people to recycle and not dump material in landfill sites, and also to reduce the harmful substances that get into our soil as a result of material being landfilled. The main legislation is the Finance Act 1996. There are also a couple of statutory instruments that give us further details about registration and accounting, and these are Statutory Instrument 1527 of 1996, also known as the Landfill Tax Regulations, and Statutory Instrument 1528 of 1996, which talks about qualifying material. We will refer to these statutory instruments as we go through the lecture. What does landfill tax apply to? It relates to landfill sites. Here we have our landfill site, and someone is coming along to dump waste in the site. It only applies to taxable disposals, and these are defined in Section 40, Subsection 2 of the Finance Act 1996. This means that it is a disposal of material as waste, it is made by way of landfill, and it is made at a landfill site. We will have a look later as to what constitutes taxable disposals and what are exempt disposals. The person who is liable to pay the tax is the landfill site operator. Before we do this, we need to define the phrase disposal of material as waste. Section 64, subsection 1 of the Finance Act 1996 says that a disposal of material is as waste if the person making the disposal does so with the intention of discarding it. So this tells us two things. One, we need to find the person who made the disposal, and secondly, we need to ascertain their intention, because if they do not intend to discard the material as waste, then the tax is not due. However, hold that thought for a second, because the Finance Act 2009 has inserted a new section into the legislation that makes certain disposals taxable even if there is no intention to discard. We'll have a look at this section in a minute. But for now, back to Section 64. Subsection 3 of Section 64 is also important. This says that if a person makes a disposal on behalf of someone else, then it is the original person's intention we look at. You can see that this was written into the legislation to stop people avoiding the tax by inserting an intermediary into the disposal. Take the following example. You want to get rid of some waste. You know that if you take it to the landfill site, you are the person making the disposal, and as you intend to discard of the material as waste, landfill tax is due. However, if instead you passed the material on to someone else, and they took it to the landfill site, they could argue that it wasn't their intention to discard of it as waste, and therefore no tax is due. Subsection 3 stops this from happening. It says we look at the original person's intention. So in the latter situation, as you were the person who intended to discard of the material as waste, and the disposal was made on your behalf, it is your intention that is important. Section 64 has probably been the most contentious section of the legislation, as we have had many tribunal and court cases concerning it. The most recent case, which we're going to have a look at in a second, involved the waste recycling group and was heard in the Court of Appeal. That court went against customs and found in favour of the taxpayer's interpretation of the legislation. The result of this case was that if a landfill operator acquired materials for use on the site, for example, to build roads or to cover the waste at the end of the day, then as they did not intend to discard the materials as waste, the disposals were not liable to landfill tax. Because customs lost this case, and a significant amount of revenue estimated as £200 million over 3 years, they've decided to change the legislation to make most of the types of disposals covered in the waste recycling group case liable to tax. This new legislation is contained in Schedule 60 of the Finance Act 2009. We'll look at this new legislation in a second, but first of all, let's look at the cases that led to its introduction. We'll start with the waste recycling group case. As this case is so long and involved, you'll find a separate lecture on it and a brief introduction to it at the end of this lecture. This case also discusses in detail the facts and judgments given in the Parkwood and Darfish cases, which are summarised next. Once you've listened to the summary of Parkwood and Darfish, pause this current lecture and listen to the waste recycling lecture. In the Parkwood case, heard in the Court of Appeal, recycled waste was sold to a landfill site for use in road building stroke landscaping on the site. Customs argued that there was a disposal of material as waste because the local authority that originally provided the material to the recycling company was intending to dispose of it as waste. Their intention was held to be irrelevant. When the recycling company deposited the waste at the landfill site, this was not a disposal as waste. In the Darfish case, a wholly owned subsidiary of Darfish bought material from two other companies and deposited it at Darfish's landfill site. Darfish intended to use the material so that it could develop another part of its land. The tribunal held that Darfish did not intend to dispose of it as waste, and therefore landfill tax was not due. The High Court, however, allowed Customs' appeal, saying it was insufficient to consider only Darfish's intention. The intention of the other two companies must also be considered. They had made a disposal. A disposal is not confined to the moment the waste is deposited on the site. In the unreported tribunal decision of ICI Chemicals, casings which are used to contain waste are not themselves liable to landfill tax. They are not deposited as waste, as they are being deposited as useful casings. As a result of the decision in the Waste Recycling Group case, Customs issued Business Brief 58/08, which detailed their interpretation of the outcome of the case. In this brief, Customs detailed the uses of materials at a landfill site that would not attract the tax. Log on to the Customs website and see all the uses they mention in the brief. As an example, material used for cell engineering, material used for temporary or permanent hard standings, and material used to cover the waste at the end of each day are listed as uses that are not liable to the tax, i.e. they are not taxable disposals. However, this is not the end of the story. I mentioned at the start that Customs were not happy with the court's decision in the Waste Recycling Group case, so they've decided to change the legislation. The new legislation is contained in Schedule 60 of the Finance Act 2009. We'll look at it now. Schedule 60 inserts a new section 65A into the 1996 Finance Act. The section is headed up, Prescribed Landfill Site Activities to be Treated as Disposals. What the section does is allow an order to be made that details activities on a landfill site that will be treated as a disposal of material as waste and therefore liable to the tax. The relevant order in this case is Statutory Instrument 1929 of 2009. It takes effect for disposals on or after the 1st of September 2009. Some of the uses included in the order are 1. The use of material to cover the disposal area during the short-term cessation in landfill disposal activity. This is the so-called daily cover that was the main issue in the Waste Recycling Group case. 2. The use of material to create or maintain a temporary haul road. This covers any road within a landfill site which gives access to the disposal area. 3. The use of material to create or maintain a temporary hard standing. A hard standing means a base on which an activity such as sorting, treatment, processing, storage or recycling is carried out. 4. The use of material to create or maintain a cell bund. This means a structure within the disposal area which separates units of waste. These are just some of the activities in the order. Have a read of the order now to see all of the activities that are now classed as deemed disposals and liable to landfill tax. You will note that all of the uses listed have something in common. That is, that they all relate to the current disposal of waste at the landfill site. Note that most of them use the word temporary. Therefore, if a landfill site operator uses material to create permanent roads or permanent hard standings, for instance, which essentially means that they are there after the landfill activities have ceased, then these are not prescribed activities and do not incur landfill tax. They are still governed by the principles in the Waste Recycling Group case. Customs have updated their public notice on landfill tax to detail the types of uses they envisage are covered by the statutory instrument and those that are not. They distinguish between temporary structures that necessitate or facilitate the disposal of waste, which are taxable, and permanent structures that are still there when the landfill site closes down, which are not taxable disposals. Prior to the 1st of September 2009, a landfill site operator could apply for a temporary tax-free area under Section 62 of the 1996 Finance Act. This was an area where material was held temporarily before being put to a qualifying use, such as recycling. When the material was deposited into the tax-free area, it was not treated as a disposal for landfill tax. Landfill tax became due if the material remained within the area, generally for more than 12 months. The provisions on temporary tax-free areas have been removed from the 1st of September 2009 as a result of the decision in the Waste Recycling Group case. As a result of this case, tax would not be due on materials that are to be removed for recycling, etc. Schedule 60 does, however, give customs the power to require a person to provide information to them about the use of materials and designate part of a landfill site an information area, where prescribed materials are to be deposited.
And if someone does not maintain a record of material in that information area, then this also becomes a deemed disposal under Statutory Instrument 1929 of 2009, which we looked at above. Have a look at little h in the statutory instrument. It gives two circumstances where someone fails to comply with customs requirements on information areas, which then makes the material in it a deemed disposal of waste and liable to the tax.
In practice, the removal of the provisions on temporary tax-free areas are being directly replaced with requirements to supply similar information that is already required under the current legislation, so there is no real change for landfill site operators. There has been a useful case on temporary tax-free areas that is still relevant even after the legislation changes in September 2009. This is because it provides a general principle that customs should not use their powers of assessment to penalise a taxpayer for a regulatory breach. The purpose of the legislation should be followed.
Generally, customs will authorise a temporary tax-free area for a limited period of time. Once the time limit approaches expiry, the operator can renew the authorisation. In the Easter Hatton case, the renewal of the authorisation was not made. Customs assessed the operator to landfill tax on the material contained in the area at the date the authorisation had lapsed. The tribunal quashed the assessment based on the purpose of the legislation. Effectively, the assessment amounted to a penalty for not renewing the tax-free area authorisation in time. However, as all of the material had been put to a qualifying use and was not landfilled, the tax should not be due. The purpose of the legislation was to tax material that was landfilled.
We have learned that landfill tax only applies to taxable disposals, but what are the rates of tax?
These are given in Section 42 of our Finance Act. The rates are £48 or £2.50 per tonne, which are calculated pro rata for part tonnes.
The latter rate applies if the disposal is of qualifying material.
From this, we can see that if we classify our waste correctly, there are quite a lot of savings to be made if we are disposing of qualifying material. We will come on to the definition of qualifying material in a minute. From the 1st of April 2011, the standard rate is set to rise to £56 per tonne. Also note that the tax is set to increase by £8 each year until it reaches £72 per tonne from the 1st of April 2013.
The tax point is the date of disposal, or if an invoice is issued within 14 days, the invoice date becomes the tax point.
First, let's take a look at the types of material that are exempt from tax. You'll find these in Section 43 onwards of the Finance Act. They include the following: disposal of material which has been removed from water, such as rivers and canals, and had formed part of the bed of the water or projected from it. Disposal of material which has been removed from water approaching a harbour, which has been removed in the interests of navigation, and formed part of or projected from the bed. Naturally occurring mineral material which has been removed from the sea during operations carried out to obtain sand or gravel, or other substances such as those from the seabed.
Note that this also includes material that has been added to the waste, so that it is not liquid waste.
Material which has been removed from land, which was covered by a certificate from customs. This essentially covers cleaning up of contaminated land.
Certain disposals are excluded from this, and you will find these listed in Section 43A, subsection 4.
They include instances where someone has been given a notice to clean up the land under the Environmental Protection Act of 1990. This does include cleaning pollutants from one part of the land to the other, but where the person spreads the pollutants out to obtain a suitable contour, this will not satisfy the law. This was confirmed in the Stuart Baldwin Tribunal case. Also, a certificate will not be granted if hazardous material is going to be deposited on the land as the relevant activities have not ceased to give rise to pollutants under subsection 8. This was looked at in the High Court case of Augean. The word pollutant, which is not defined in the Act, should carry its ordinary meaning. The judge agreed with Customs that it means a substance capable of causing pollution, and because Augean's activity would result in the presence in the land of substances capable of causing pollution, the relevant activity had not ceased. Note that this exemption is being phased out. Relief is given where the disposer holds a relief certificate from Customs. Applications for certificates will not be accepted on or after the 1st of December 2008. Anyone in possession of a valid certificate will have until the 31st of March 2012 to dispose of their waste and still benefit from the exemption. Disposals made on or after the 1st of April 2012 will incur landfill tax. Note that there used to be a specific exemption from landfill tax where qualifying material was used in the restoration of a site. This meant that the site was being closed down and restored to its previous use, which could have been forestry, agriculture, etc. As a result of the Waste Recycling Group case, the use of material in this way has been held to not be a disposal of material as waste. It also has not been included in the list of deemed disposals in Statutory Instrument 1929 of 2009, because, remember, the uses listed there are all temporary type uses that relate to the disposal of the waste and not the cessation of landfill activities, which effectively occurs after the disposal of waste. Therefore, the exemption was removed from the 1st of September 2009 because it has become unnecessary. In Customs public notice on landfill tax, they confirm that materials used to restore a landfill site are not taxable disposals. However, they have inserted into the legislation a provision that requires someone to notify them that they are commencing the restoration of a site. If someone does not notify them, then it becomes a deemed disposal in Statutory Instrument 1929 of 2009. We have seen this SI a few times now. Back to our list of exemptions then.
Naturally occurring material which results from mining or quarrying and qualifying material made at a quarry. Again, you can see that the legislation uses the words qualifying material, which we will look at on the next slide. And finally, disposals of the remains of dead domestic pets at pet cemeteries are exempt disposals. We have already heard this phrase a few times, but what exactly is qualifying material?
We have already seen the relevance of it. Do you remember? Qualifying material is subject to the reduced amount of £2.50 per tonne as opposed to the full rate.
You should remember from our first slide that one of the purposes of landfill tax is to stop the disposal of harmful substances getting into the soil. Therefore, the reason this material is allowed to be dumped at a reduced rate is that it is not going to harm our soil. Qualifying material is mentioned in section 42, subsections 3 and 4 of the 1996 Finance Act. It is not actually defined there, but says that qualifying material will be listed in an order, and to get listed it must be described as inactive or inert, i.e. this means it is not going to harm our environment when it is dumped. The relevant order that contains a list of qualifying material is Statutory Instrument 1528 of 1996. It consists of 9 groups, and the description of the material covered in each group is given in the second column of the table in the schedule to the order. If there are any conditions that attach to the material, they are listed in column 3 of the table. There are also various notes about each group underneath the table. On the screen before you, we have reproduced the 9 groups, along with a brief description of the material covered and any conditions that apply. It is worthwhile to pause this lecture, open up the qualifying material statutory instrument, and have a look at the notes that accompany the table. Note that the current order is being reviewed with a view to removing some of the substances currently listed.